In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure that many of us have been to a place of wrestling with what to do in a very difficult situation, being in a quandary, faced with a difficult circumstance. This is where we find Joseph. Matthew 1:18-19 tells us, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." Matthew refers to Jesus as a just, righteous man. He wants to do the right thing, but he's faced with this dilemma. When he first learns that Mary is pregnant, he naturally thinks that she has committed adultery. When faced with this, he ponders the options that are available to him, but what he's to do. And to understand these, we need to be aware of the wedding customs of that day. Jewish wedding customs, naturally, are very different than our customs. After a decision was made, often by families, for two people to be married, the first stage was betrothal. The betrothal in first century Jewish culture meant more than just being engaged. It meant that the couple were legally married in the eyes of the law. Betrothal involved a formal prenuptial agreement before witnesses. It was a legally binding contract, and it could only be broken by divorce. The terminology husband and wife were used at this point. But the girl did not leave her own family to live with her husband at this time, and sexual relations between them were not tolerated. A formal wedding ceremony would take place about a year after the betrothal. And at that time, the wife then would move in with the husband, and at that time, the marriage would be consummated. Mary and Joseph were in this betrothal stage. So when Joseph learns that Mary is pregnant, he sees three options available to him. One is to marry her. But in doing so, this would implicate him as being the one that got her pregnant. It would also condone what he thinks is Mary's sin of adultery. Second option is he could make Mary's condition known publicly. In doing this, however, she would be subject to disgrace and would be liable to be stoned, as that's what occurred with adultery. The third option was for him to divorce her quietly. The law didn't require a private divorce be made public. So this would save her from public disgrace and possible death. As Joseph then wrestles with all of this, he sees that the best situation is to obtain a certificate of divorce. He knows that he is not the father, and he must have felt so betrayed. His decision really shows his care for Mary. He doesn't react out of anger and condemn her, but rather extends grace and compassion. I'm sure with his mind just reeling, and then having this decision in place, Joseph goes to sleep. And that's when the call of Christmas came to him. Verses 20 to 22 says, "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Last week, I mentioned to you about the involvement of angels in this Christmas story and then also being aware of them in our lives. Throughout the call of Christmas in the gospel accounts, as we look at Zechariah, Mary, and the shepherds, they all received angelic calls when they were awake. In Joseph's situation, the angelic call occurs in a dream. While research suggests that 95% to 99% of persons' dreams are forgotten as soon as they awake, some dreams are unforgettable and life-changing. We read several places in Scripture where God uses dreams to communicate with people. God uses the best means possible to communicate with us. Sometimes that is through dreams. I've had a few times that this has occurred in my life, waking up and knowing that a dream was from God. that it contained a message from him. It's interesting to read these days how God is using dreams to speak to Muslims. There seems to be a global phenomenon that is happening, especially among Muslims, with many of them coming to Christ in response to visions and dreams. Dr. Jim Dennison notes, God speaks to us in whatever language and ways we can understand. He became one of us that we might be one with him. Perhaps God communicated via the angel in Joseph's dream because he knew that was the only way to change his mind. Needed to go to that kind of extreme. Joseph thought that he had much to lose if not for going ahead with a divorce. The angel appears to him and addresses him saying, "Son of David." This title ties Joseph into the preceding genealogy. If you look at the first chapter of Matthew, we see all this genealogical line that's outlined in the opening of the book. And then the angel tells Joseph to not be afraid and states the miraculous conception of the child. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The fear was the consequences and the stigma that would occur when the marriage was completed. Who would believe this staggering story of the angel's words that the baby is conceived by the Holy Spirit? What a calling and responsibility. And the naming of the child is significant. Verse 23 says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Two names, Jesus and Emmanuel. The name Jesus was popular in the first century Judaism. The name in Hebrew would be the same as Joshua or Yeshua. And the meaning of Jesus, Joshua, Yeshua is God saves. Joshua was an important name in Israelite history because that name reminded the Jewish people of the one who had led the Israelites to the promised land. Yeshua, Jesus, will rescue his people, not from slavery in Egypt, but from the slavery of sin, death, Satan, and hell. He will save them from the exile they have suffered, not just in Babylon, but also in their own heart and lives. We see in this name the central purpose of Jesus' earthly life. And later on in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew 20:28, it says, "He himself will save his people from their sins by giving his life as a ransom for many." The name Jesus speaks of what he will do. But he's also called Emmanuel, God with us. This speaks of who he is. While Jesus was a popular name, Emmanuel was not. No parent in their right mind would give their son the name God with us. The name Jesus specifies what he does. God saves. And Emmanuel specifies who he is. God with us. Matthew clearly points out both the human and the divine nature of this child. He has a human lineage. He has a human name by which he identifies with the people. And he has a human birth. But he also has a divine relationship through the Holy Spirit. A divine description. Emmanuel, God with us. And a divine origin through the conception by the Holy Spirit. This conception is important. There are some these days who don't believe in this miraculous conception of a virgin birth. But this piece is crucial. Matthew does not theorize about how this conception took place, but merely presents it in historical authenticity. He understands that there's something both natural and supernatural about Jesus. We may not be able to understand the depth of this miraculous incarnation. But Matthew impels us at the very start of the story to deal with it. The astounding truth is that God has taken on human nature and is now with his people. Jesus' virgin birth has profound significance for our Christian faith and life. It points to the divine nature of Jesus and his absolute uniqueness. It points to one person to whom is united full deity and full humanity, both perfect man and God. It indicates his humanity is without inherited sin, that he was born holy. He then was able to bring redemption through the sacrifice of his life for our sin. There is great significance in these names, Jesus and Emmanuel. God has come to be with his people to fulfill the deepest meaning of the relationship that he has established with his people. In Jesus, God is now with his people personally as Savior, a God who came to save, and a God who will be with us. The two names together, Jesus and Emmanuel, express the meaning of the story. As we read this account in Matthew, we can learn from the actions of Joseph. He is an example to us. But the central message of the narrative is not about Joseph or any other figure, but it's all about Jesus. As we read through the Christmas story and then we read on through the gospel, the focus throughout is on Jesus. We learn who he is and how we can respond to him. And as we encounter various characters, we can appropriate applications from their lives into our lives. When Joseph awakes from the dream, he is obedient to the angel's directive. Verse 25 says, "When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." What came next for Joseph was immediate obedience. The dream that the Lord had given Joseph as he slept and the angelic call that came in the night resulted in immediate action. Joseph could have said, "That's only a dream," or decided not to follow the angel's directions. But he didn't. He stepped out in immediate obedience. Joseph's obedience to the message of the angel overrules his own suspicion of Mary's unfaithfulness, as well as the ruin that could occur for his own reputation and honor. I can't imagine how difficult all of this must have been for Joseph. He steps out in obedience, taking great risk. He takes Mary as his wife. They have the formal wedding ceremony, and she comes to live with him as a fully married couple, except that he does not have sex with her until after Jesus is born, retaining her virginity. Joseph obeys everything of the angel's instructions, as difficult as they would have been. As we consider the call of Christmas, the call of Joseph is a call of obedience. Joseph was given this call through a dream. The angel conveyed he was to be given a son to raise and a wife to take as his own. What a dream. What a call. We may never experience such a dramatic calling from God, but each of us will encounter unexpected circumstances and tasks as we attempt to carry out God's will for our lives. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Titus, tells him to remind people to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all. While the story is simply told, Joseph's obedience and submission under those circumstances are remarkable. The pattern of Joseph's heeding that call to obedience is something for us worth noting and practicing in our own lives. What is the call that God may have on you this Christmas? Is there a relationship that maybe needs to be mended? Is there a move that needs to be made? Is there a habit that needs to be stopped? Where is God calling you to immediate action? When we hear the call of God on our lives, may we be people who respond with immediate obedience. May we demonstrate life lived in such a way that we honor the God who saved us, the one who is with us, our Jesus, our Emmanuel. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you came to save us, to be with us. You gave up so much for us. I pray that as we go through this Christmas season, we would keep this in the forefront of our minds. Christmas is about you, not about us. May this be a time of worship, expressing our gratitude, declaring the truth that you came down to earth from heaven. And in response, may we open our eyes to you, knowing your redeeming love. Lord, thank you for the example of Joseph, how in the midst of this difficult challenge, he was willing to follow your call of obedience. For us gathered here this morning, Lord, may we hear where you may be calling us, calling us to a place where we need to step out in faith and trust you. And Lord, help us to make that step of obedience, even when we might be afraid. May we trust you, truly following you and obeying. In Jesus' name, amen.